Good morning. So before we get started, just thought I'd share a little insight. I look out, I think there's a Reinke in the house. Is there a Reinke in the house? There is. And that actually goes to what I was going to say. I was commenting this morning that one of the blessings that I have is the Lord has blessed us with a house that many of you have been to. And you come in and you relax. Sandy's brother came in last night. You just come in and you just sit on the couch and you lay on the floor and there's lots of places to sit and there's chairs and it's comfy. Some people want to take my chairs home with them, right? Not mentioning any names. But it's just comfortable. And that reminded me of our body here, our family here. And we used to meet in a bank in Westlake. Remember that?
No.
And I remember Sandy and I getting up. Sig asked us to share because we were taking clothes down to people in Rosarito Beach, Mexico. And he got us up there, and I didn't know what he wanted us to do, but he said, get up and just, you know, tell people what you're doing. So I was about 20, and in a few weeks I turned 55. So that was a while ago. So I've known some of you your entire life, and, you know, nieces, nephews, and I've known some of you since I was 17, like my wife, and I've known some of you before that. Belinda, you don't know this, but I've known you longer than I've known my wife. We were at Redeemer Lutheran Church with you guys, you know, in the 1950s. And I mean, this is really my family. And, you know, some of you I held in my hand when you were, you know, a few weeks old, right, Steph? You have to hear it all the time. And now I get to hold your granddaughter in my hand. And that's pretty cool. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that little insight into our family here. Okay. Many of you have heard that there's a group of men in the church that get together twice a month, and we go over two chapters of a book called The Essential Truths of the Christian Faith. And this week we're finishing off a series of chapters relating to the Holy Spirit. And we've been considering different aspects of the Holy Spirit. And this week we'll study the Holy Spirit as our comforter and our sanctifier. But this morning I'd like to spend our time together reintroducing you to the Holy Spirit. And many of you have read a book by Francis Chan called The Forgotten God. And that's about the fact that the church as a whole in the world doesn't speak about the Holy Spirit very much. We talk about God, the Father, we talk about Jesus a lot, and we don't talk about the Holy Spirit. And as you know, the word theology means the study of God. And so we want to study God in His wholeness, and that would include studying God, the Holy Spirit. So we'd like to talk about the deity of the Holy Spirit. We'd like to talk about the personality of the Holy Spirit, the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit, and the illumination of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to review some scriptures. I'm going to share some personal experiences and insights. And for many of you, this will be a review. And for some of you, this will be a new topic. About a week, 10 days ago, I went to Washington, D.C. And I went to Digestive Disease Week. And I know that excites all of you. We call it DDW. It's a national meeting once a year. And 10,000 gastroenterologists from all over the U.S. and all over the world get together. And they are excited about going. And I like to attend the postgraduate course. So I've already finished my training 25 years ago. But I go to a postgraduate course. And the reason I go is to review what I know. And I actually know probably 99% of the stuff that they present. But I still like to review it. 1% of what they share is new to me. And what I'm looking for is a clinical pearl. Just something to teach me another way to take care of my patients. Another way to be a better physician. And so maybe today you'll get 1% new. That's a little pearl for you. Okay. So it's good to hear confirmation that another believer agrees with the Word of God. We come to hear something new, And that's what I want to try to share. Okay. We'll begin by discussing the deity of the Holy Spirit. And I like to start at the beginning. Genesis 1, 1 and 2. So let's go ahead and read that. You know, the word Trinity doesn't appear in the Bible, but the concept of the Trinity is everywhere, including the first three verses of the Bible. But I'll just read the first two. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So this shows the Holy Spirit present in the creation story. In the beginning, the Spirit's there. In Job 26, verse 13, we read, "By His Spirit He adorned the heavens." And then again in Job 33, 4, tells us, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." We sing a song, "Glory, glory to the Father, glory, glory to the Son, glory to the Spirit, glory to the three in one." The Holy Spirit is God. He is a person. He's one of the three persons of our one God. He has the ability to create. Only God can create something out of nothing. The Bible clearly represents the Holy Spirit as possessing divine attributes and exercising divine authority. Luke tells us of the deity of the Holy Spirit in the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, where we read, "But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.'" We also see an attribute of God attributed to the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11, when Paul speaks of the omniscience of the Holy Spirit. "The Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." The Holy Spirit is also omnipresent. And this is shown in Psalm 139, 7 and 8. "Where can I go from your Spirit? Wherever I go, you are there." We also know that the Holy Spirit is omnipotent. We have seen this in creation. And we have seen this in His ability to perform miracles. Jesus speaks to the Pharisees in Matthew 12, 28. "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you." And the Apostle Paul speaks of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, 9 through 11. "To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." Note here, the Holy Spirit is referred to as He. He is a person. He works miracles with His mighty power. The Holy Spirit is God, and He's worthy of worship and reverence. We see His personality expressed in John 16, 13. "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come." We see here that the Holy Spirit is a guide. He is the Spirit of truth. He is a teacher. He gives us a fuller revelation of the truth. Acts 9, verse 31 says, "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, They were multiplied. So we see here that the Holy Spirit is a comforter. So let's just stop for a moment and let's briefly consider the stresses of life. Your job, your children, your home, your finances. And isn't it great that God, the Holy Spirit, is your comforter? We all need this. There's a nice app in your cell phones that you can get where people will tell you the translation of words and they'll tell you how to say them. So the Greek word for the Holy Spirit is parakletos. Now, I didn't know how to say it until I pushed the little button, but it's parakletos. And there's a lot of meaning behind the word. You know, the English language is pretty simple, and other languages are much more descriptive, and Greek is one of those. So it means a helper, a comforter, an aider, an assistant. The Holy Spirit leads us to a deeper knowledge of the gospel truth and gives us divine strength that we need to enable us to undergo trials and persecutions on behalf of the kingdom of God. A parakletos is one who pleads another's case before a judge, one who stands alongside you and acts as an advocate, an intercessor. Jesus promises that he will send the Holy Spirit to us and for us in John 14:15-18. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Did you know that you are called to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Do you ever ignore parts of the Bible? It's an interesting question. Do you skip certain sections? And the reason I ask this is sometimes we skip past the greetings at the beginnings of the epistles. And sometimes we gloss over the ending that's just a goodbye. So turn with me to the last verse of 2 Corinthians, which you've never had a Bible studies on before probably, but you could. So we'll go to 2 Corinthians. We're going all the way to the end, chapter 13. And we're going to verse 14, right? Okay, so I hear pages turning. That's a good sign. So the verse says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen." So there's so much going on in this verse that we could spend years, literally years, considering all that is involved. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go. Let's spend a month talking about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How about the love of God? That's cool. And the communion of the Holy Spirit. Well, what's that mean? Let's get to that. But all those be with you all. Amen. So be it. The word communion means fellowship with God. Fellowship between Christ and his people. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit and fellowship of believers one with another. The Lord's Supper is called communion because in it there is a fellowship between Christ and his disciples and of the disciples with one another. The Holy Spirit desires a relationship with you. The Holy Spirit desires for us to love him, to love the Father and to love Jesus and not to love the world. James 4:4-5 reads, "Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says in vain, 'The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously'?" So picture this for a moment. God yearns jealously. The Holy Spirit desires us to love him and to listen to him. We are not to listen to the world. John 14:25 teaches us, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit teaches us the wisdom of God and reminds us of all truth. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit in order to learn. This sounds obvious, but we are reminded over and over in the Revelation. Chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Do you listen to the Holy Spirit? Do you seek to know him? The Holy Spirit is worthy of our adoration and our love. We'll switch gears here to consider the internal testimony of the Holy Spirit. John 16:13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." The Holy Spirit guides. His testimony is true. These are not small things I'm telling you. His witness is sure. His witness is unimpeachable. Whatever he hears, he will speak, and whatever he hears cannot fail. His testimony is infallible. It proceeds from the highest possible character, the deepest possible fountain of knowledge. His testimony is trustworthy. All these things I'm saying are not found in this world. This trustworthiness, this purity, all this stuff is not found in the world. So let me distinguish between man and the Holy Spirit here. So I can bring you to a truth. I can show you a verse. I can sit next to you on a plane or a train or at a bus stop, and I can share with you John 3:16. I can say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." The Holy Spirit does much, much more than show you a verse. The Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. He causes us to enter into the truth. Now think about this for a minute. We have the Scripture illuminated for us by the Holy Spirit. We enter into the truth and we dwell in it. We wear the truth like a warm garment on a cold day. And it protects us from the cold. We dwell in the truth of everlasting life for believers. Acts 5:32 says, "And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The Holy Spirit has been given to believers who obey him. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. How? By experience. When we learn the truth of Scripture in our own lives, then we have our own testimony that God's word is true. So for ourselves, that's important, to know God's truth has played itself out in our lives. He proves himself to be true over and over by his faithfulness in our troubles. So this helps us to believe more firmly. But also then we can share our story. We can share how God has sustained us. And then God is glorified and pleased. Some are edified, some are encouraged, some are comforted, and some are converted to the faith. We must ask the Holy Spirit for advice every day, all day. We must seek the Holy Spirit as we read the Bible. The Holy Spirit opens up the Scriptures to us. We can read the Word of God over and over, and we can memorize it. But we don't really know the Word until the Holy Spirit opens the truth up to us and makes it real and makes it alive. This is necessary. This is a requirement. The Holy Spirit offers no new secret information or clever argument. He operates on our spirits to break down and overcome our resistance to God's truth. He moves us to surrender to the clear teaching of God's Word and to embrace it. The testimony of the Holy Spirit comes to us with the Word and through the Word of God. So let's be practical here. How does this all work? So we know the Holy Spirit knows all things. We know that the Holy Spirit shines a light on the Scriptures to open them up to us. So first off, we cannot understand the Scriptures unless we read them. secondly, we must spend time studying the Scriptures to have the Holy Spirit open them up to us. So, I love basketball. Basketball is my favorite sport. And Michael Jordan is arguably one of the best players of all time. Some people think the best. So let's think about Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was blessed by the fact that he was 6'7" and had the physique of, you know, Adonis. But he didn't become the best basketball player in the world just because he was 6'7" and had that physique. Michael Jordan had to put in the time. He had to have the coaching. He had to have the practice. Some people have heard of the 10,000 hours that it takes to become the best at something. He put in the 10,000 hours of practice. He put up with strife. He put up with hardship. Now, maybe it's not strife to you. Maybe it's not hardship to you. But to him, it was a big deal. He got cut from the varsity basketball team when he was a sophomore in high school. Now, most kids that are going to go Division I are on the varsity basketball team when they're a freshman. He got cut as a sophomore from the varsity team. So that made him work harder. He went back and he worked harder. And he was great. Well, in the same way, we have all been given the gift of the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Spirit is our helper. And He's ready and willing to shine the light on the Scriptures so that we can understand what God is saying to us. He will tell you the things to come. As the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, we are comforted. It's comforting to know that God has everything under control. He's in charge. He cares about you, and He cares about what's going on in your life. The Spirit of truth is comforting. There's no confusion here. There's absolute truth. The world is very confusing with her truth and his truth and relativity truth. But we have comfort and stability knowing that God is truth. The Holy Spirit is truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit will speak what He hears, and He will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit is our guide. He lights the way. Psalm 119, 105, we sing, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth." Gives wisdom. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So going back to John 16, we are promised a fuller revelation because we know God and His Spirit dwells within us. In verse 14 we read, "He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you." So we see the Trinity revealed in verse 15 as we read, "All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you." The Holy Spirit is in communion with God the Father and with God the Son. He declares to us that Jesus and the Father are one. He takes what is Jesus's and declares it to us. He teaches us that Jesus is divine. He is Lord. He is God. And this truth can only be revealed to you by the Spirit. Paul quotes from the prophet Isaiah in 1 Corinthians 2:9. "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." We see that secret things do exist, and that these things are great things, and that we cannot even conceive of these things. But God has prepared these things for those who love Him. These are special gifts. We can only receive this knowledge by revelation from God, by the Holy Spirit. And these things are prepared only for those who love God. And then verse 10, "But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." The Holy Spirit searches and reveals. He shines a light. The Holy Spirit teaches. As we read over and over in the Revelation, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." We've been given this special privilege. God reveals His Word to us. He reveals the things that He has prepared for us, even the deep things of God. So returning to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read in verse 11, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We are given spiritual discernment and spiritual knowledge. And we need to acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 we'll turn to. I put those little things in there for me to read to slow down. I have to tell myself to do that. So 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 through 21. I'll go ahead and read that. This confirms our discussion. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We are to take heed, pay attention to what the Bible teaches, and we can only do this by reading the Word on a regular basis. We must acknowledge that God's Word is a light that shines in a dark place. And the dark place is the spiritual darkness that most people exist in. Until the day dawns when we are spiritually enlightened, when we come into the knowledge of Jesus and our eyes are opened by the Holy Spirit and the morning star rises in our hearts. Amen.